B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rosen with Walton to his left. One receiver
blitz.
Left. A blitz coming. And
yeah.
A throw with contact. Picked
Go.
Off by Collins. And he's going to roll to the 10-yard line, pop back to his feet. And in fact, the whistles will sound, and that will be the end. Jamie Collins with his second interception of the day. And a fitting note on which to end this 43-0 rout for the Patriots of the Dolphins here in South Florida.
Okie doke. A good Monday morning to you. Patriots get a big win.
Good morning.
In Miami. Hi, So.
How we doing?
How are you?
Good. Is Lowell our new co-host? Did you bring your guitar and your cowboy hat? I've seen those pictures, you oddball. I know what you do in your spare time. The guitar strummer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. He's horrified right now. That's right.
That's Lowell.
Our tech guy.
Yeah, he's now in charge of recovering your password.
Hey, we're good. I'm in. I'm good. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
It's good.
How you guys doing?
You forced Ed out. Ed had enough of you. He quit.
How was your post games last night, you two?
Fine.
Fine.
Plenty to talk about.
Yeah. You know, I watched on the plane on the way back.
Goodfellas.
Notting Hill.
Nope. Analyze that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well,
Let's
talk about that. Okay. How did you find the film?
You're bugging me a little bit now.
We have reports from the airplane saying it was actually Analyze This that you watched.
Oh, it was Analyze This? Who told you that?
Someone else who was on the plane.
Analyze This. Was that it? Thank you. What are I about to say? What do you want me to do, Doc? The consigliere.
Do you want to give us a full review
trip,
or do you want to get to the game?
Let's get to the game.
Okay. Man. To the game we will get then. Blowout win for the Patriots. Couple of big defensive plays in there as well, helping add to things.
Jesus. Defense. I mean, I don't even care that they missed kicks or extra points. And, like, Bob started to get some concern there. You know, in that first half, and then did you blow an opportunity down tight? I'm like, stop. Because this isn't like last year, and this is what I'm starting to think. And it's only two games in, and it kind of prevent the overreaction here. But this defense, I'm not worried about a stalled drive or a missed extra point or a missed field goal. Because the defense has you. They got you. They're good.
The defense is everything we thought they'd be.
I think it's more because I think they toyed with them. Like, they didn't
The Dolphins are really bad. So let's take that into account.
Correct. And I said that several times.
They're so bad.
Right.
But we went into the game and we said it multiple times pregame yesterday, talking to Soce about it pregame. Talking to multiple guests during the pregame show, and I kept asking the question, and I wasn't being a wise ass, and it came to fruition. I said, how are the Dolphins going to score any points today? How is that going to happen?
They couldn't get across the
50. I said, somebody explain to me how the Dolphins score points today. And they almost got close to doing it at the end of the game, but how is that going to happen?
I was amazed by what they did at the end of the game. And now, okay, it's 37-0, and Bill calls timeout to make sure everything's right, right? And I think the big thing, and this is why, when you look at this team and you're sitting there and you're looking at these other games and how poorly coached some of these teams are,
mm-hmm.
Like Bill said, we're not going to screw up what we did last year again. So he calls the timeout. They set the defense. I've never seen the way it was defended this, I don't want to call it the Hail Mary, but the final play of the game, where they took three defensive backs, they put corners in the end zone, three of them across. And then they stacked two safeties underneath them. And then you had linebackers and two more corners on the outside. And a down guy, and I'm like, where do you even attempt to throw the ball? Like, that's how precise they were with the coaching. And here's Bill going up and down the sideline, still getting after guys. Because I'm going to coach them for 60 minutes. And we're going to play. And we're not going to screw up like we did last year. Like, people have a big problem with Brady being in the game. I don't have a problem Brady being in the game. Hand it off. Hand it off at the end, you know? Kill that clock. But there was some sort of message sent yesterday about the 60-minute part of it for a lot of the guys that I think were here in that game last year where they just took their foot off the gas and thought it was over. And I just, this is what's different with this team this year. They're not going to sit there after a game and go, oh, damn, if we would have just done this. We kind of wanted to do it, but we didn't. You know what? Let's make sure we do it this year.
All right. So there's something to this, though. They're going and running play action in the final quarter of the game.
Right.
They're up big. The defensive scores certainly helped, but the Patriots kept their foot on the gas the entire way in this game. What is that about?
It's starting to feel like 07 to me.
But what is it about in this game yesterday? Because I could think of 10 different reasons.
They weren't perfect on offense either. Like people think, they weren't. Run up. No, they probably should have hit 60.
But the game was well in hand when they were doing that. So it could have been about that. It could have been about the offense. But it also could have been about 10 other things yesterday. It could have been about the week. It could have been about the criticism the team faced for bringing in Antonio Brown. It could have been about the staff on the other side of the field with it being Brian Flores. And in addition to it being Brian Flores, the fact that it was Brian Flores and Brian Flores raided the Patriots staff and going to Miami. It could be a million different things. It could be that this is the identity the Patriots want to take on this year, that they just want to blow everybody out. Right. It could be that Pittsburgh and Miami were the two games last year that they lost back-to-back, and it's a thing you just mentioned, which is they don't want to make those mistakes again this year. And so to get back and sort of prove something to themselves and to everybody else, they want to blow those two teams out, and they did just that over the last 2 weeks. There could be 100 different reasons why it is that they wanted to blow these teams out the way they did the last 2 weeks. But Tom Brady was not only in the game, but Tom Brady was throwing the football, was dropping back, and the Patriots were doing it with a banged up offensive line.
Okay.
And they were doing it to prove a point.
Here we go. Okay.
Because they weren't doing it to be smart. It wasn't smart.
The
protection was damaged goods yesterday. They're dealing with a million injuries on their offensive line, and they're dropping Tom Brady back to pass. They're putting him at risk to prove what point and why. I'm curious to know what it is.
And I don't like Brady getting hit. And I think all you got to do is land on that elbow or shoulder one way and awkwardly one way. Next thing you know, you're out for a month or two. So I talked to a couple people about this, and that was my big concern. That's the one thing I circle. You look at, okay, Brady getting knocked around a little bit with these guys, with Newhouse, with Cunningham. You know, basically thrown out to the edge. And you got a brand new center in Teddy Karras. Right? Teddy's been around, but he's a new center. Shaq Mason had some issues at times yesterday. So there are two flex guys. Those two guys are supposed to be backups, right? So you go into a game, crap, what kind of shape are these guys in? Not really sure. Probably not in great shape, right? They weren't here all camp. They weren't running the hill with the rest of these guys. The defense never looked like they had to take a deep breath. Like, they were just laughing, jacking around out there. That's how in shape they are and how athletic they are. I was told we need to find out what the hell these guys can do under real fire. So then why not put Stidham in, right? And just let him drop back and, hey, okay, can this guy block 50 protection? Can this guy block 70 protection? What if we free release the backside and we don't chip? Can he handle extending that guy, that rusher, edge rusher, up the field past the point where we think our quarterback's going to be? So I think it was a work in process that they're trying to look at what they have up front and how they're going to fix this, because it's musical chairs right now. Those are two guys that had to play.
Wait.
60-plus snaps.
So that was the motivation to drop back and throw?
Not the motivation, but like...
To check out Newhouse and see if he could handle the duties?
We're trying to find out.
So that means they don't expect Leonard Cannon to be back anytime soon then, right?
That's ridiculous. Cannon was out there testing the shoulder to travel.
If for Zoe to be right, I mean, I would think that they might know something about Wynn being out a lot longer now.
Well, that to me could be true. But why do you need to test that in a game situation? And I'm not buying that as the motivation.
Because you can't do it on one-on-ones. That's the only way you do it.
The only thing I can think of is consistency. All week long, that Bill Belichick was saying, last time down here, we didn't play a full game. We got bit. And we lost. And everybody is going to play a full 60 minutes today. We are not going to take any time off. We're not going to... Once this game is in hand, we're going to keep playing.
But running the football and killing clock in the fourth quarter is not taking time off.
Yeah, and
still go play the game.
That's the obvious follow-up that was not asked at Belichick's press conference. Right. Why is Brady, play a full 60 minutes? Well, is running the football, not playing football.
But the running back put the ball to ground. Next thing you know, you come back out next series and you're throwing the ball.
Because well, I was saying,
that's what I said too.
Hardy,
well, we tried that. Michelle fumbled.
I got reminded.
So we're going to keep playing as though this were a one possession game.
Real quick.
And a one score game. We're going to play like we would normally play if it were tight. Because last year we thought the game was hand and it wasn't.
I'm not complaining about running up the score because, in fact, I love when teams. Run up the score. I think saying the words run up the score, I don't like to say it because there's this negative connotation with it that people have, like you're doing something wrong or something that goes against the spirit of the game. No, if you don't like it, stop it. Play defense. I don't believe that there's even a thing as running up the score.
I'm with you on that.
I couldn't stand when people complained about the Patriots and the scoring that they did in 2007. I am all for pouring it on.
I'm
just saying, from your own perspective, do what's in the best interest of you, and that is keeping your team upright and healthy and self-preservation. Yeah. Just do what's in your best interest. That's all.
Keep 12-11 just out of the fray.
Yes.
And even at the end, they're like,
Edelman took a shot on that last drive over the middle of the field, and Brady's out there getting exposed to taking hits. Those are two things that I have no interest in seeing for the long-term health of this team. It's only week two.
But everybody in offense liked it. Like, there wasn't anybody
that had a pitch.
I mean, but
I didn't hate seeing them score a late touchdown either.
We were in Jacksonville last year.
They wouldn't have liked it if Brady hit his hand on somebody like Drew Brees did at the end of or in the beginning of the game, right?
Hey, that heat consumed them last year in Jacksonville. Yesterday was hotter. It was more humid. I don't know how they handled that. I really don't. I thought that was going to be an issue. And then that game at the beginning was kind of hovering there, 16-0, and still two-possession game. Felt like it was still 90-0. But they couldn't separate from a point standpoint. And I think the heat was starting to affect them there. And then Miami got gassed. You just wore their ass down. That was a pretty good job. That's a good spot. They don't play well down there.
But
they never do.
Is there an issue between...
Rarely do.
Is there an issue between Brian Flores and Bill Belichick? I want to tell you one tweet from an ESPN reporter about that relationship and what may or may not have played into yesterday's game and the final score. There was some back and forth going on there between the two sidelines. There was something, but I don't know that it necessarily was personal. We'll get to that and more on the game, more on the day that the Patriots had, of course, the way that the offense performed, the day that they had, the day that Antonio Brown had, the day that Sony Michel had yesterday.
And our guy, Kyle Van Noy, who we'll talk to on Wednesday. Good to have him back. Man, was he fresh and cracking people, ready to go.
We'll get to all this and the latest on Antonio Brown's off-the-field troubles. We'll get to that later in the hour. So go nowhere. 617-779-0985. Your calls as well and your reaction to another Patriots blowout win as they move to 2-0 here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
One more and you'll be able to take this down to the 2 minute if you run it. Third down.
2:40 and counting here on the fourth. 37-0 New England.
Here comes Edelman back into the game. James Patriots White also.
With White to Brady's left. Three receivers to the left. Gordon to the right. Tom takes a shotgun snap, backs up, screens it to James White, wide at the 10. Nobody there. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Booyah.
Oh, we're playing 60 minutes.
The telephone number. Zolak and Bertrand on a Monday after Patriots win. Defense. It's going to be pretty damn good. Defense looks really, really good. Granted, they played a bad team yesterday.
Did you hear? But
they didn't give up much.
Read within the comments of some of the players like Daron Harmon and McCourty and those guys. Like, Yeah, Mayo and Steve did a hell of a job calling a hell of a game for us. So they go back and forth calling games, which is, you told me last year after Flores left that they bring back Gerard Mayo and Steve would be elevated to the point he is. Just didn't see that coming at all.
You also mentioned that you thought, you were mentioning on the broadcast yesterday during the game, you thought Bill was more engaged and was doing more coaching than you had seen him do in quite some time. In fact, you saw him down on one knee, which
I saw him down on one knee, taking a look, peering. Yes, peering outside, and turning around, writing stuff down, looking. It's like, you know, like old high school coach with the headset on. He's down on one knee, and then Ernie Adams is up in the booth, and he's got his hands on his knees, and he's probably trying to get a lower level, eye level, so he can take a peek. You know, it's just, it's what coaches do. You know, it's not typical Bill where end of the game, he's got his arms crossed, and he's walking up the other end. Like, he's down on one knee watching his defense. Now, I think he's involved more as he helps guide Gerard and his son Steve to make the correct calls and decisions. But I remember the time running down, and I saw him going up and down the sideline. I don't know what he was saying. It had to be something about, let's go, let's stay in this thing. Because it wasn't just concentrated on offense, defense. He started down one end. He went up, and he's talking to everybody. So just a little different. I mean, I don't want to say he's into it more, but he's into it more. That makes sense. You know, I mean, I read into body language and all that. Like, how are they acting? How are they coming out for this game? They ready to go. Watch how this guy talks to this guy. This guy makes a nice play. Does this guy deal with him? Or do you say, hey, nice job? Or do you just turn around and walk away after it?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years with Bill, and you see him, and you just know his mannerisms. Like, he wanted this one bad.
Yeah, why is that? Is there any personal thing that applied to this game that didn't apply to other games?
I saw the embraces in pregame and postgame with these guys, and it's there's no I don't think there's an issue between them. He's gotten staffs plucked before this. Now, the way Mangini did it, you saw a cold Bill Belichick that would not deal with any of those players or people that Mangini took with him. Wouldn't even look at him. I didn't see any of that. Saw a lot of ass grabbing before the game. A lot.
How much?
Hey, how you doing? You know who's down there, too? Our boy, Googe. Oh. Googe is down there. So he said, man, we're good. We got a long way to go, though. It's good to have a job.
Yeah, Flores fired his offensive line coach, like, right in a couple weeks into camp, right?
So he knew it right away.
To Googe. Yep.
I want to mention
gave me a call. I said, no-brainer. Hell yeah, I'm coming.
Let me read this tweet to you from Diana Russini of ESPN.
Is she down there? I didn't see her.
I have no idea.
Okay. I'm just the Darlington and all them.
I have no idea.
No, she was covering another game.
Okay.
You know what I find sort of odd about her Twitter account?
She was covering the Steelers game, I think, because she commented that Renegade or something is one of the best things that
no,
happened.
No, is that her really Twitter not. Account does not list her last name anywhere on it.
It's ESPN Diana.
No, that's her handle is Diana ESPN. But on her account, she doesn't list her last name. It just says Diana. Like we should all, like Madonna. Like we should all know
like Princess Di, like Diana.
Like we should all know who Diana is.
Blue English Rose. I didn't know you.
But she has the blue check mark. It's her account.
Yeah.
Those who follow the NFL and watch ESPN, which in New England is like six people because the boycott continues. But
sure does. But
Diana Russini of ESPN, friend of Zoe, reports this. Tweeted this at 4:02 yesterday. So as the game was wrapping up. What time did the game end? About 4:15?
Yeah.
So fourth quarter.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. That game was flying in the first half.
I know.
And then it slowed
to a grind.
This
might be 2.5 hours.
This is what she tweeted conveniently after the game or at the end of the game, not before it. I think it would have carried some more weight if it were tweeted before the game. But she tweeted, I had someone close to the Patriots mention this to me this week. If you want to understand if and or how much Belichick likes Brian Flores, keep an eye on the scoreboard. That's what Diana Russini tweeted. Someone close to the Patriots mentioned to me that if you want to understand if and or how much Belichick likes Flores, keep an eye on the scoreboard. Mm. So because the Patriots won 43-0, that means Bill Belichick, I guess, hates Brian Flores. I guess if they won 53-0, he really hates Brian Flores. If he won, you know, 21 nothing.
It's such a disservice.
He just sort of dislikes Brian Flores. I don't know what the scale is there.
How many
points do you win by to really express how much you don't like a guy?
You just got laid out 59-10 the week prior. You know that team sucks. They stripped it down. They're trading away all their good talent. The week of the Patriots game, they tell Minka Fitzpatrick, go ahead and seek a trade. Supposedly they have three done, ready to go maybe, for a first rounder and more. Like, he's cleaning house.
Is that how that works?
You knew that New England's coming down to lay the wood, right?
So,
what? So Bill's supposed to go in with the mindset, here's what we're going to do. We're only going to win 24-0. Yeah, as far as, I don't know. There were times, too, like going back to when Holly asked him that one comment, Bill went nuts. Do you even know football? Do you know how bad a question that is?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Him about prepping and, you know, when the other team's bad, and Bill took it as an insult. Like, I just think Bill's looking at it as, I got to do everything I can early in the year. Like, this team came out and played like crap at the beginning of last year. Right. I think they're correcting. They're trying to be better than they were at the beginning of last year. Start fast.
I'm just saying, though, like, there have been.
I've had so many
discussions.
There have
been previous assistants who have left.
Right.
Eric Mangini
right.
is the example.
Yeah, Fredo. Dead.
Okay. He's dead to Belichick.
Dead.
That was a Jets thing, though,
dead.
Right? And
yes.
There may have been some sort of falling out about him leaving when he did or going to that particular team because Belichick has a thing about the Jets. That's why Belichick just last week completed a trade with the Jets. That was the last team left in the NFL that Bill Belichick had never completed a trade with. He had done a trade with every other NFL franchise except the Jets until last week. It took him 20 years to do that. I just look at that and tweet and go, well, like last year when the Patriots lost to the Lions in September, a win that Hardy is still celebrating.
What else?
Does that mean he did that because he likes Matt Patricia? So like he let him win? Like Patricia, I like him, so we're going to lose today, guys. What does that mean?
Well, I think he heard this too, like maybe during the week too. Like, hey, there's been guys that have left here and something pretty good. You know, like look at Patricia last year. Like there's some institutional knowledge where they may have that advantage early on Belichick.
Okay, is he pissed about Flores raiding the staff and taking all the guys with him?
No, he understands. Okay. I've had discussions with him about this. Like my personal discussions over the years, because that's part of it, man.
Was there ever the hint of an issue between him and Flores, though? Ever?
I don't think so. No.
I don't think so either.
No, he's been so complimentary. Like he's calling him Flo, like Nick. Oh no. You know, go back to the Super Bowl stuff. Hey, Brian, man, come on. We got 15 calls left in this game. Been so good. You know, they got nothing for us. They got no answer. Let's just make sure we get it right. And he embraced it like. I find this ridiculous. Is there a jaded player or something that is in contact with her? Because I don't see somebody dropping a dime like that as the team and the organization are in Miami.
When Brian Flores, Brian Flores ice Steven Goskowski on the PAT yesterday?
Was that what it was, or he didn't have? I thought they had 10 people on the field.
Did they?
They had an issue where somebody was running over and they're going timeout, timeout.
You would see like better than I.
They can't even line up.
For those of us on TV.
That was a personnel issue.
For those of us on TV, we thought maybe he was icing Goskowski on a PAT.
Yeah, if it's 7-6, maybe.
I thought they were looking at it because that was after the Antonio Brown touchdown, correct?
No, that was early. That was early in the game.
Yeah, he missed two PATs, though.
Yeah.
The one where they did nothing at halftime, right?
The second one, he missed. The one they called the timeout on,
it was the first one, and I think they wanted extra time for the officials to look at it because Antonio Brown pushed off.
Well, I guess Dan Fouts had a real issue with it, huh?
And I think that's why they called the timeout.
To see if they would take an extra look at it? Yeah.
Maybe.
Why else?
To ice Goskowski on the PAT because it worked.
Why? Because you think you're going to be.
I see guys on point after.
You think this is a Pop Warner game? What do you think? It's a Pop Warner game and a Pop Warner team that makes their kicks are going
to
win?
It worked. Guy was missing kicks left and right, and we'll get to him. But I'm looking at those little things like, oh, man, this back and forth today. He's icing the kicker on the extra points. Like, oh, my God. These guys are going to go at each other today. Like the coaching wise, because he doesn't have the talent to match up.
I thought it was
so he's going to pull all the bull crap out of the bag here today.
I thought the timeout was called in hopes that it would give the officials extra time to look at that again because Antonio Brown did get a little push there.
I wondered if it was over the kick, and I'm like, icing the kicker? What, you don't have the talent here, obviously, to try and compete in this game, so you're going to pull this out of the bag of tricks? I half respect it, but I don't know if that's going to go over well on the other sideline. And then at the end of the game, the Patriots are going to bring the house there as Miami was going to try and score there to break up the shutout. Like, you knew that was going to happen. It resulted in the Jamie Collins pick at the end of the game.
It's Harmon. It was like the same blitz they ran in the Super Bowl, where they brought Harmon backside weak with Jamie. And, like, Jesus, you got to pick one of them.
There
up.
Just seemed to be some coaching aggressiveness there. I thought it was fun. I thought it was and an otherwise boring game because Ooh. The Patriots were kicking the snot out of them. It was an entertaining angle to the game.
How about that Harmon blitz? That's the one B Flo called on Jared Goff there at the end.
All right. So I don't know this if there's is any ridiculous. Issue, but the Patriots were out for blood yesterday, which was an interesting angle to the game. That's for sure. They were going all out in that game yesterday. Antonio Brown on the field. How did he fit into the Patriots offense? His day, his touchdown, his four catches. Let's talk about that. We'll get to that next. Also, the missed kicks. We will do that as well. Hardy has some breaking news on Drew Brees here in his headlines, and he will cover that for you right now. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ball on the near hash to left hash. Brady takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder. Yeah! Down. Touchdown, Patriots. Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid. What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
Six 617-779-0985. Antonio Brown with a touchdown in his first Patriots game. Four catches, three on that first drive. Get a catch on his first snap on the field. Eight targets yesterday. What'd you make of his day, Zo?
I thought he came out fire hot. I mean, he was red hot coming out, and I thought they forced it to him after he got the first four attempts. Like, they wanted to get it to him and get it to him early. But
it worked on the first drive.
Worked great on the first
drive. It did. It worked right out of the gate. Then it felt like they were forcing things later on.
And I thought they got him out and got away from him at the perfect time, because then other guys start to look at, okay, well, why are we throwing another incomplete to him? Why are we forcing it to him? You know, so they said, let's settle. Let's get back to it. And boom, you hit Dorsett on a little quick down, get back to things we do. I think there were some issues where Antonio on the slants isn't looking first quick window. And this is part of the habit. When you play with a guy for 8 years, like you did with Ben, where would Ben get in trouble? Wait until he throws a slant where? Right over the middle of the field. Ben would always wait, I think, because maybe Ben didn't see things well. Wait for that guy to clear that second window. Going back to that game he blew in Denver last year throwing a pick. Forcing a one after Brown got hurt in our game 2 years ago where Harmon got the deflection. Like, I think Antonio's used to catching slants deeper into the coverage. So, I mean, that's stuff you work on and fix. And I know Brady wants that last one back where he beat him off the jam and Tom thought he was coming inside, but he went to the pylon. All he had to do was loft that. That would have been another touchdown. But the first throw on the first touchdown to him, my God, that's as pretty as it gets. That's the high-end ceiling with this offense where, Jesus, you got Gordon stacked outside him. So I know Xavier Howard was on Gordon a lot yesterday because of the type of week he had last week. And I know we'll get to Gordon later. But okay, so you got Antonio in a slot next to him. Julian's in the other slot. What the hell do you do coverage-wise with James White offset? Like, I what do you do? Who do you focus on?
I don't know. Really early on Antonio Brown, so it's not worth really getting too much into. But when you see right out of the gate, It's not worth getting too deep on, but that Pittsburgh offense is such schoolyard nonsense.
Yeah, and I think that he has to conform to what they want to do, or they won't go to him. They'll get him out, which is a good sign there.
Right. Right.
You know, Antonio, we're not going to let you freelance a little. And
you can't freelance.
You can't look for the ball when you want to look for it. It's not freelance.
You can't just do what you want to do.
He's running a route. He's supposed to run. It's just, this is where they talk about where, you know, when we talked to Jacoby Myers in camp, and he said, yeah, Edelman's working with me so much, because same thing with Troy, is he wants, this is where Tom wants you to look and be. You know, the footwork might call for you for seven steps, but know the down and distance, know the jam. You might only have to take four, but you're going to get to the same spot. And Brown's got to learn all that. He needs to learn everything. The whole warm-up, everything, getting to the sideline, getting out of the huddle. When's your helmet on? When's it off?
That, to me, was sort of interesting and fascinating to watch. The getting in and out, off the field, on the field, when to have your helmet on, when to have it off. The fact that he had to be told to get into the locker room before the game.
Yeah, well, he was a little late, a little lingering around.
He was late getting back into the locker room.
But there was other, stuff that was tolerated for him to
taking his gloves off and yucking it up with fans and giving things away to the fans.
I think it was family.
Belichick's assistant had to come get him and get his ass in the locker room.
Let's go.
That happened yesterday.
That won't happen again.
He's out there on the field with no shoes on and a laptop.
I said, prior to the game, Spartacus. What are you?
No, it wasn't a laptop.
It wasn't a laptop.
It was like a little, like, you know, those little
pad.
It's like a razor almost that you kind of step up and do like step ups on,
it's
kind of thing.
It's a balance,
like a workout
pad.
Thing.
So he did one foot balance things. Yeah.
But it was a little bit bigger than a laptop.
At first, it was
smaller than like an exercise.
It was originally reported as a laptop, so it was not a laptop. Well, that changes things dramatically.
But once you freeze your feet, what feels really good is to get hot grass. Like, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to get out there and get his. He went bare feet.
It's like my bare
feet. On the hot grass. Because they're still cold.
The village,
freezing.
The wet,
that changes
wet,
things.
But the grass they watered, there's wet grass from the village.
Yeah, but I don't know if you could see it if you had monitors in that tiny closet of a radio booth they gave you yesterday, Zoe. But
what
did
an
you
embarrassment.
See, did you see Joe Judge get on him on the sideline?
I did not.
On the broadcast?
Nope.
Joe Judge was yelling at him to get his helmet on and get back on the field. It was brief, but he's like, go! Like, helmet on! Go!
See,
get on the field.
I mean, I didn't focus on him. I don't know if he's the helmet off guy all the time. Or
I don't know, but here's an idea. Just keep the helmet on.
If you're running an up-tempo offense and you're going on and off the field, you can't be a helmet off guy. Though.
Just
well,
keep your helmet on.
That's what they need to fix, Jim.
Just keep your freaking helmet on.
My favorite part was the part where he came off the field and he was waiting for high fives by the sideline. And like, because everyone was looking at the field. So I think he thought they were looking at him coming off the field. No, they were just watching the game. And he came and looked like he was getting high fives, and everyone's stone-faced looking and focusing on what they're doing.
There's a cultural difference between what he's used to in Pittsburgh and what you're going to get here in New England.
That's fact. Yeah.
The culture of the
team. Pittsburgh liked to dance a lot.
Very different.
Quarterback in Pittsburgh warmed up with a baseball hat on backwards, no helmet. Like, they tolerate things there. He will conform.
He was getting in the way with his celebrations. Like, he was celebrating long enough where it was getting in the way of the next play.
It was so long.
How you do that handshake?
It was sort of tedious. Like,
the touchdown thing was an all-timer. He had the touchdown, was in the stands. They went to the full replay, analyzed the whole play. They came back to live action, and he was still dancing.
Let's dance.
And then he did that handshake with Philip Dorsett.
The handshake with Dorsett, I think they screwed it up like midway through, and they started over again.
Yeah. Hank in New Hampshire on the touchdown celebration. He's been waiting on this. Hank.
Hey, Scozo. Good. Yeah.
What, you got a train?
No, I'm in a truck. Let me stop. Oh, hey. All world pro, watch France.
I can't hear you. It's too loud. We'll put you on hold.
Why us?
I don't know. Russ Francis at the end there.
I don't know. I don't know why. Let's talk about the latest in Antonio Brown's case. We'll try and get back to Hank. He's been hanging on for over a half hour. He wants to talk about that touchdown celebration.
Get off the train.
I didn't hang up on him. I put him on hold.
He's probably a hobo on a train.
We'll see if we can,
his feet
see can get
off.
Him in a quieter spot.
His clothes
we can
on
get
a
him
stick.
To pull over or something.
You
can barely hear him. Russ Francis. Russ Francis wouldn't have done that.
I got to eat my can of beans.
Russ Francis, Antonio Brown's accuser, meeting with the NFL today. We'll get to that story next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As Brown was preparing to sign his contract last week with the Patriots, he also faced the decision about whether to sign another contract. This one, to pay his accuser more than $2 million as a settlement agreement to end a sexual assault claim. What the public didn't know, while Brown was in the news for things like finding a new helmet and frostbitten feet, he was also in settlement discussions starting in April, including two mediations, the first of which happened in May. That situation culminated Sunday night, and according to sources that I've spoken to, Brown was given a 10 p.m. deadline to sign the settlement agreement, or the accuser's attorney would be filing their lawsuit the following day. That's the same day Brown's contract with the Patriots would be formalized. Now, Brown did not sign it. The suit was filed 2 days later, and now what has long been a very private matter is something the league, the Patriots, and the sports world will be following very closely.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Spectrum. Hiring field technicians for all New England offices, including Portland, Maine. To apply, text field tech to 97211 or visit jobs.spectrum.com. Keyword field technician. Growing your career is what Spectrum is all about.
Damn. Spectrum.
617-779-0985. NFL investigators will meet today and interview Brittany Taylor, who has accused Antonio Brown of sexual assault and rape and has filed a civil case against him. She's meeting today with the league, with their representatives. That's happening today. What?
No.
Oh. That is Jeff Darlington, who you just heard, who gives you some of the background on what's been going on between her representatives and his representatives, which gives you an idea that this case is not new. That right. Discussions between her reps and his reps have been going on since April, that they sat down for multiple mediation sessions, the first of which happened in May. They sat down in May and started trying to hammer out the details of this. And there was a settlement offer on the table with a deadline of Sunday night, which he declined to accept. So for all the crazy calls we took last week that accused this person of coming out of the woodwork because he was now a Patriot, or that there was some sort of league conspiracy that was against the Patriots, and yeah, Roger Goodell is behind it. Okay, for you crazies, I hope you now see that this has nothing to do with the NFL or Roger Goodell, and that this is something that has been going on for nearly 6 months between Antonio Brown and this accuser. These discussions began in April. They had multiple mediation sessions that started in May. So this is not new, and it's not news to Antonio Brown or his representatives. So there's the background. It's been going on for months. Not new. He declined to settle it. They're now going to do whatever it is that happens legally in court. We'll see where it goes. There is apparently a witness that could be called in this case. And Jim has the audio. This was from last night on Football Night in America on NBC. It's Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. What does he have on this?
That lawsuit mentions another football player but doesn't name him. I'm told that other football player who may be a witness to some of these incidents is Antonio Brown's cousin, Marquise Hollywood Brown, that we saw in the highlights. So we'll see how it unfolds, but the league would like to move fairly quickly and talk to anyone who has knowledge. No accusations against Marquise Brown, but he may be a witness.
Important.
Now his cousin is possibly going to have to answer to the league. They might call him in. He may not say anything.
Right.
But the lawsuit,
well, he had a good 2 weeks,
names
huh?
a witness, and according to Mike Florio's sources, that witness being named is Hollywood Brown, Antonio Brown's cousin, as a witness to some of the acts that are alleged in this case. This thing is getting more interesting by the day. There is no doubt about that.
Hollywood's off to a big start, too.
Yeah, he is. And there was also a report yesterday that there was information provided to the league by Brittany Taylor's representatives ahead of the meeting with the NFL today.
Yeah.
Which, in thinking that through, had to have been more information than what was just publicly available through the filing last week.
Probably.
If they're providing the league with information, it's not just what's in the filing, which is just to get the ball rolling in court.
If you had something and you read it and you start to look at it, and if the league thought, oh, this is awful, I think, then maybe they act and say, you can't dress him Sunday. Yeah. That was this past Sunday. You know, if that was the case, the league had this stuff. And you look at it, and, all right, we'll talk to her next week. We'll see. We'll investigate this next week. That tells me it doesn't seem like it's over-the-top stuff.
Depending on when they gave it to them. I mean, right. What if they sent it over to them, you know, yesterday?
What, 11, what, 1:05 kickoff?
Waking up after the wedding, send them the information?
If it was sent yesterday at some point?
How was the wedding?
What?
No reports on wedding?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know how it's relevant.
I mean, Jim said.
I assume she had a wedding this weekend. I'm sure the information was sent before that, right? I would just assume, just by logistics.
Yeah, I wouldn't think she'd be dealing with that on wedding.
Well, she's not sending it over. It's her lawyers are sending it over. But if it's sent over at any point this weekend, do you think the league would even act on it?
I don't know. If she was getting pissed or her representatives were getting pissed and he was getting all attention, Jesus, they got him up and he's practicing and they're working long into the nights with him and looks like he's going to play. Let's hurry up and get this information so they make sure he doesn't play. If they thought it was bad, maybe the league looked at it and said, maybe we don't think it's that bad. So it's an interesting story. It is. We know nothing. You know, but until they investigate it, I just want this to come to the end one way or another.
I think a normal, good investigation, that's a normal, by-the-book investigation.
It's not going to act
you're
until
not do
after.
That. But how do we trust the NFL to be a by-the-book organization?
See, I don't think the NFL is going to act on any of their information until after, based on the type of case you're dealing with, right, which is not the type of case that has great evidence regardless of what happened,
correct,
whether it did happen or not.
Correct.
None of these types of cases have good evidence of what went down.
Well, look how they...
And so I don't think that they would act on this either way. Unless there's, you know, some sort of excellent example of or right. evidence.
Like a video or a smoking gun or something that they said.
Which I don't think there would be.
But you had like...
I don't think they'd act and all of a sudden say, oh, this, whatever is in the document she sent, oh, this is too damning. We have to suspend Antonio Brown. Put him on that list today.
Like
I don't know.
If they had a video of like the incident when she was watching her iPad, watching church or something, and they had the background and stuff.
Him, huh?
Like,
right.
And they said, if they had seen that video and said, oh my God, this video is going to get out there. We can't have him wearing an NFL uniform this weekend.
Right, because if this video gets out, we are going to look horrible.
Exactly.
And I don't think there's going to be anything like that. I think you're going to have a case where he's going to make her claims against her, calling her a liar and saying that she's out to scam me and get money, and she's going to make his claims that she's already made very publicly against him.
And she's gone back to him multiple
times. Never
going to
know what happened, and not much is going to come of it. I think that's what this is going to be.
I remember in the spring, we were talking about Tyreek Hill, and I remember us taking calls, and like people want him suspended, and they want the league to act this and that, and he kept going to the audio of the phone conversation between he and his significant other regarding the child who had the broken arm. And people called and said, well, why wouldn't you act on that? Because that's not even a domestic to where, okay, that child has no choice. That child isn't old enough to make decisions for its own. You know, where some people during that time said, you know, hey, she keeps going back to him. And if she doesn't talk to the league, then that's on her. Because then she's just taking a check or whatever it is, you know? And the league did nothing then. And you actually had some audio. Of some back and forth, as you have some texts or emails or whatever the hell these things are. So it's going to come down to what he said versus she said. We'll see what they do. But right now, they don't have any proof. Nothing has been filed criminally. You thought maybe, ooh, Allegheny's going to have something, or maybe there is something down in Florida. No. No. I just hope they act swiftly. I'm just tired. We're going to be doing this every week. Until this thing's ended. That's what we're going to do.
Well, you might be doing it every week anyway. as more stories come out.
Not once they come to a decision on it. Say they throw it out. Say we don't find anything. What do you want to, regurgitate this every Monday?
No.
After
I think there will be new things.
I don't.
I think there will. I think this is probably.
That's where it becomes problematic from if there's like other people now.
Yes.
Like that's why that.
Well, there are. There already are. There's already stories. I think once you start unpacking the stories and start telling them, then more people feel.
It's like an onion, they're saying. Like layers to this.
A little bit.
There's a new one today. The MMQB just dropped a story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.